Our dear Father, while we do not yet see the face of your Son, we can hear his voice, and we pray that we might hear his voice today. Amen. I need gentleness, and so do you. The fruit of the Spirit is gentleness. Gentleness. Well, today's sermon is not based on a whole passage like Genesis 19 was last week. It's based on one word. One word. But every word in God's Bible, isn't it, is God's word. So whether we're at the top of a mountain sort of surveying the horizon and praising God for his glorious creation, or whether we're looking down a microscope, we still praise him, don't we? Because of his creation and his word that he's given. So we're looking at one word today, and that word is proeutes. It's an adjective describing gentleness. Our NIV has gentleness, the AV has meekness, and if we go to the King James, it's back to gentleness. So which one is it? In fact, I've looked at 43 English translations, and here's the score, okay? 17, gentleness, 19, meekness, and occasionally it's mildness, or good faith, or tolerance, or humility, or modesty. So, you could say meekness has it, just. But, which is the best word to use? Well, gentleness suggests action. You know, you might have a gentle touch on the controls. Or if somebody is removing a splinter from your finger or toe, you might say, be gentle. Or if somebody is racing around the hospital with a trolley full of glass, you would shout, wouldn't you? Be gentle with it. So gentleness has much to do with action. But obviously the fruit of the Spirit is not just action. It's something deeper than that. And proeutes is described as a condition of mind and heart. And not an action, but an attitude. It's not only a person's outward behaviour, which is really important. It's that person's inner disposition. So what is it? Well, we can understand the meaning of a word by how it's used in the Bible and how it's used in Greek literature as well. Although the main thrust of the meaning really is found in the Bible, it seems to have less significance in non-scriptural writings. And it can mean either gentleness or meekness, although maybe better described by its noun, praus, which does mean more meek. And so let us see what this meekness is. We're going to see what it is. We're going to see how I can have it and how it should show. What it is, how I can have it, and how does it show. So meekness, as with all the fruit of the Spirit, is primarily and completely seen in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit being the Spirit of Jesus. And he ascribes this gentleness to himself. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle. Praus, and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. So yoke up to me, Jesus says, and you will find it easy and good. And he said this in contrast to the Pharisees with their teaching, who were loveless and burdened people with rules and obligations that they couldn't keep. He says, no, come to me. I'm gentle and humble in heart. So Jesus is not like the Pharisees, nor is he like the rulers of the land with their harsh punishments and stringent demands, and the kings that ruled aggressively. Jesus is a different kind of king. And therefore, you know the verse, we said Palm Sunday particularly, say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle, that's the word praus again, and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. So how is it that God could be meek? Doesn't sound like God, does it, being meek? I mean, Jesus in John 13, after starting off by saying he had all authority in the universe, took off his robe, poured water into a basin, and began to wash his disciples' feet drying them with a towel that was wrapped around him. Now, I often come across people who say, well, I don't think God's like that. Or maybe they say, like Peter, he's not going to do that to me. He's not going to do that to me. You're not washing my feet. Well, in Christ, infinite majesty and transcendent meekness come together. These two qualifications are seen in no other person at all. Meekness is a virtue proper only to creation, a creature. It is hardly ever mentioned as a divine attribute in Scripture, not least in the New Testament. But Christ, being both God and man, has both infinite majesty and superlative meekness. He's the mighty one, full of glory, who rides on the clouds of the heavens and whose eyes are flaming fire, and yet he's the most marvellously humble, meek, quiet-spirited man that there ever was. And it was with that meekness that he was surrounded by soldiers who were condemning him and mocking him. And so we have that passage that we read. Just pick out one verse. Verse 7 says, Behold the servant, the suffering and obedient servant to death. Isaiah 53:7 says, he was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. Thus, in Christ, we have the Lion of Judah and also the Lamb of meekness together. And Paul says, by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, I appeal to you. So those characteristics that we read in the fruit of the Spirit are a moral portrait of Jesus Christ. In English, the terms meekness, mildness, generally suggest weakness. But the word prates is nothing of the kind, not at all. The meekness manifested by the Lord and commended to the believer is the fruit of power. The common assumption is that when a man is meek, it is because he can't help himself. But the Lord was meek because he had the infinite resources of God at his command. Jesus turns things upside down. Or the right way up, I should say. That's what he does. Jesus says to his faithful servants, I think this is the most profound verse, he, speaking of himself, will dress himself to serve, while have them recline at the table, he will come and wait on them. Amazing? Meekness is not natural. No one tends to be meek. Might be weak or self-pitying, certainly that, but not meek. No, meekness is supernatural. It's a characteristic formed through the presence of Jesus within a person's life. And so meekness is the mark of a Christian. So the next point is, how can I have it? How do I become meek? Well, we probably shouldn't think about meekness without thinking about the Beatitudes. Blessed are the meek. Do you remember that one? For they will inherit the earth. And blessed really means favoured in the sight of God. And meek really means somebody with a different disposition, an adornment of the Christian life. And the context is the context of Beatitudes, or blessed attitudes, in the Sermon on the Mount. And the first in that list is being poor in spirit. So here is a spiritual pauper, one who sees their true poverty before God and grieves and mourns over it. Do you see yourself realistically as we are, paupers before God? We can bring nothing to him. Do you then do what it says in the next verse? Grieve over it, mourn over it. If you do, the result will be meekness, which is the next one in line. It produces meekness, which is a placing of myself in the position to receive. And the fourth one in the list is to hunger and thirst for Christ's righteousness, not having any of my own. Therefore, this meekness is primarily a state before God. It's an inwrought grace of the soul, and exercised firstly and foremost towards God. It is a temper of spirit in which we accept his dealings with us as good, and therefore we don't push back or argue or dispute with him about what he's doing in my life. We realise that his dealings are good, we trust his sovereignty, and we follow in obedience, like that sheep. Are you meek? Am I meek? Humble? Do I have that disposition? Something needs to happen for us to have that. If we don't just sort of drift into this, we don't morph into this, something needs to happen. And that is brokenness. There has to be a breaking down. Jesus is able to break down strongholds, and there's no stronghold stronger than the human heart with all its resistance. And Jesus says, he who falls on this stone himself will be broken to pieces. Has he done that work in you? Have you been broken before him? Has he broken through that wall, knocking over those bricks of pride and greed and self and lust and jealousy and hatred and anger and self-pity and selfish ambition, impurity and so on? That high wall of self, has he broken that down? You talk to a bricklayer and they'll often say, sorry, can't fix that one, it needs to come down to the last brick and then we can build it properly. Ever heard a bricklayer say that? I've heard them say that. They won't repair it. They want to start again and do it properly. Over in Poole Farm, the demolition ball is swinging around and the houses are being knocked down. All the debris cleared until they're made completely smooth. Now they can build something new and good. And that's what has to happen in your life and mine if we are to ever experience meekness. And Christ is the breaker, and Christ is the rebuilder. Pride is replaced by meekness, envy is replaced by love, fickleness replaced by faithfulness, and so on. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man. And here's that expert fisherman who knew everything. He's humbled. The one who's much pleased with himself cries out, go away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man. So brokenness is the mark, the fruit. One of the evidences, the evidence, one might say, that Christ has done a work in you. And sometimes people ask me, well, what are the evidences of conversion? Well, how can we really tell that somebody has been truly converted? It's brokenness, or meekness, or humility. And if a person doesn't have that, they don't know Jesus. They've misunderstood what Christianity is all about. So has he broken you? Has Christ done that work in you? Have there been the tears? He who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces. But then the verse goes on to say, doesn't it? But he on whom it falls will be crushed. Refuse him his rightful place in your life, and the day will come when you'll be found wanting. Your hardness will be exposed on that day of judgment, and it'll be upon you. Now is the time to seek him, to hand over, to turn, to look up to the one who hung on that cross, the one who took the lowest place so that you could be picked up, the one who took away guilt, carried that dreadful penalty of sin. Is your guilt taken care of? Has it gone? Do you remember when that happened? Really important. Well, thirdly and lastly, how does meekness show? How does it show itself? Well, let me remind you of how it fits into the nine fruit, singular, of the Spirit. There's not many fruits, not a basket full of different kinds of fruits. There's one fruit, many faceted fruit. But there are actually three discernible groups within the nine. So we have love, joy, peace. I'm just reminding you of what I've said before. Here is the essential inward state for someone with the Spirit of Jesus in them. We do enjoy the love and the joy and the peace. That's our experience. It's what we enjoy of the relationship with God through Jesus. And as I say, that's where we like to be, with all those wonderful things. But the Lord gives us them that we might display to all around that he's present. And that's why we have the next 3, patience, kindness, and goodness, which are very much an outward expression of that inward working. And we saw patience is not something just to grin and bear, it's results in the action of kindness. And where does that kindness come from? A good heart, a changed heart. And then we have the last 3, faithfulness, gentleness or meekness, and self-control. And they are really the foundational characteristics that enable us to experience the rest. So they come from God and they are directed towards God. As I say, it's the spirit in which we accept his dealings with me. And therefore I am meek towards others, and particularly those who do me wrong, realizing that God is permitting the injuries they inflict, trusting that he's in control of the situation and is using them to purify my life and make me more like Christ. And so that brokenness is really produces a deadness of me so that he might prevail. That's what it is to be baptized. The end of me. It's all of him. So gentleness or meekness is the opposite of self-assertiveness or self-interest. And the meek person is not occupied with self at all. They're dead to self. How different it is from the religions and the ways of the world around. The religion of self, particularly, that we are surrounded with. The worship of self, the elevation of self. We could call it selfism. Selfism. And we look at self, we see all the problems, and it becomes our focus. And of course, there are things that need changing. We're never going to be what we want to be. We're all a mess. Larry Crabb wrote that book, Effective Biblical Counseling. You remember? Well, you probably don't know. The publishers didn't like his original title. I'm a Mess and You're a Mess was the original title. They preferred Effective Biblical Counseling. It sort of sounds better, doesn't it? But we're a mess. And we'll continue to be a mess all the way through this life. And the problem is, we end up spending our time thinking about me and my problems and how I can fix myself. And obviously we want things to hinder our service of the Lord, and it's fine if we have a fear or a weakness to seek help with it, just as we would seek help with something on our skin or externally. And yet the underlying problem is the focus on me. It's all about me. And Paul said, I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And that's why we need to have a 180 degree change of vision from ourselves to Christ. That's where we should be looking. Not to ourselves, but look to me, says the Lord. Look to me. And that's where we find our completeness in him. And the reason why he says that is for our own best interest, because actually I'm the problem. I get in the way of enjoying God. The more there is of me, the less I enjoy of him. And that's the problem with the psychotherapy tunnel, is that it doesn't bring me to Christ at the end. It just brings me back to me, which is the problem. We want him and his work and in me, his power in me. When you get on a bit, you get to know yourself pretty well. And I could write a fairly long list of my character and personality failings, and probably you could as well. But if you look to him and you serve him and you find your life in him, actually he'll take care of most of these things. And what he doesn't take care of is fine. That's not the main purpose of our life, is to fix my problems, is to serve and enjoy and be filled with him. Didn't Paul say, you know, that Christ's power is made perfect in weakness? Isn't it then that he's most glorified when I'm weak? Didn't Paul say, and I think we see, don't we? And I'm weak, I'm strong. So meekness is the opposite of self-assertiveness. It's a equanimity of spirit, which is neither elated or cast down. My spirits don't go up and down. Me don't go up and down. My feelings don't go up and down because I'm not there. I'm dead. I'm not occupied with self at all. And so I'm dead to being provoked. I'm dead to being offended. And I'm prepared to endure rather than respond in like manner to those that offend me or hurt me or whatever it is. And Paul says, why not rather be wronged? Why not rather be cheated? And as Christians, we are like Christ. And he took the blows of others. And so we absorb, don't we? Just like parents do with children. We absorb the blows of others and the difficulties of others onto ourselves. And that's why it's so at odds to hear a professing Christian talk about self and elevate self. And we've had some conversations recently with some who do what we do naturally, which is to speak well of themselves and not so well of other people. How opposite to the spiritual life that is. Meekness produces peace, inner peace. It's a proof of true greatness of soul. It comes from a heart too great to be moved by little insults. It looks upon those who offer them with pity. He that is constantly ruffled, that suffers every little insult or injury, to throw him off his guard, to raise a storm of passion within, is at the mercy of every mortal that chooses to disturb him. He's like that troubled sea that cannot rest, whose waters are constantly being churned up with mire and dirt. You live with him, or is so much of you there, still there? Prickly, easily bothered, go back and grumble about this and that. Meekness is a humility and lowliness of mind, of which Christ is the example and the pattern and the power. And the Holy Spirit that comes from him transcribes his character into my character. And the result is that I have mean thoughts of myself and I walk humbly with God, acknowledging every favour, being thankful for every blessing, and depending on his grace, and behaving with meekness and humility towards others. Well, I mentioned humility a few times, and I need to just make the obvious connection that meekness and humility are good cousins, close cousins. And it's linked with the word, actually, and it follows on. And we read these phrases, don't we? Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. So the humble in heart are the meek, and the meek are the humble in heart. We're told to slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, and to show true humility towards all men. And there's that word, again, proteira. Who is wise and understanding among you? Question mark. How does that show? Let him show it by his good life, by the deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. So I'm going to say some things to do with humility, and maybe in the quietness of your heart you can say, yes, help me, Lord, with that. Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it, that others may be esteemed more than I, that in the opinion of the world others may increase and I may decrease, that others may be chosen and I set aside, that others may be praised and I go unnoticed, that others may be preferred to me in everything, that others may become holier than I, provided that I may become as holy as I should. Good things to ask the Lord for? I think so. Do you have examples of those who are meek that you look to? Characteristics are best shown in a person, aren't they? That's how we often learn these things, from others. When I was thinking about meekness, I was thinking about Don Rapson, my neighbour. You remember him, don't you? Some of you? Yeah, hospital chaplain, Anglican minister. Very humble, meek man. Or Donald Davis, up in Lichfield, who passed away some years ago. He was in the ministry for, I think, about 70 years or 60 years or something amazing. He lived to a good age, and he was a minister at the age of 20. Very meek man. Gave his life to humbly serve others. Do you have examples that you look to? Men and women? Peter speaks about how a woman should be, the unfading beauty of a gentle, there's that word again, praus, and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in the sight of God. The well-known Christian writer, Andrew Murray, godly man, often wrote about prayer. So if you see a book with Andrew Murray, take it, read it. I'm sure there's some in the library there. The meek, he said this, the meek man or woman is content to be and to be known nothing, to be and to know nothing except as God gives him light. It is the entire resignation of the will that only wants to be a vessel for what he wants, so that he can move me and mould me. And he says that comes through waiting on the Lord. So we need to do that. There have been plenty in the history of the church. And I was just reading about some Oxford martyrs. Hugh Latimer, bishop, who was a bishop and martyr. Latimer and Ridley were both burned at the stake. And as the fire was lit, we're told they were commanded to get themselves ready. And the account says that they obeyed with all meekness, accepting the Lord's will for themselves. So as we finish, we always have a choice to make, don't we, between Christ and Caesar. That's the choice presented to all of us. Is it going to be the world with its attractiveness, the sceptical world with its pleasures and ambitions, and the prodigal promise, or will it be the meekness and majesty and the winning figure of Jesus Christ of Nazareth? Let us choose him and meekness. And where our captain bids us go, 'tis not ours to murmur no. So meekness is the beautiful characteristic of a beautiful Saviour, radiating Jesus Christ. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, with kindness, with humility, gentleness or meekness. There's that word again. So may the Lord help us to honour him in this really important way. Amen.